We play and call it work.
Hey everyone, Quirk here from AnywhereGame.com with Colin.
Hello.
And welcome to this week's Sit and Talk with me, Quirk. Next week we're going to be having Dave on the Sit and Talk, so if you have any questions for him, put Dave at the beginning of your comment, and then your comment or question so that we know it's for him. And if you want to answer or acknowledge anything that I said, just put Quirk beforehand, but I have a feeling they're all going to be for Dave, so
probably.
I'm not that worried about it. Anyway, so this is going to be 30 minutes free. We're going to be answering some questions, and then 30 minutes in the vault, so... yeah, without further ado, let's get going. Colin's going to read the questions.
All right, so first question from Zam664. Quirk, can you please do a bat rep with the new Ghazghoul Thraka rules so that you can call Wog every turn after one and have all the boys fearless during the Wog? I want to see some...
You can do it.
I don't speak Orc.
Umi Stompin'
or Das Point... earned gifts. I don't speak Orc.
Okay, apparently. Yeah, I could probably do that. We need to get a Ghazghoul Thraka model in
for...
We don't have one? No. Oh. I know, right? We would need to get one in to do that and get that all painted up. The other thing is that it would destroy my voice doing a Wog every turn.
No, you could totally do it.
No, it would hurt.
You'd be good.
I've done it like... probably a good handful of times. And after every time I've done it, you could probably hear it in the battle report where like my voice goes from me talking like this to next my bikes are gonna move up and assault the... Yeah, no, my voice is just gone after I do that.
I'll make sure I get up some halls that day. Next question from Wasinger30. Quirk, new Orc player got two of those start collecting boxes. I'm assuming that's the starter set. Would like some tips as to what I should add? I like blood axes, so I want a tactical army, in brackets. If orcs could be tactical, LOL.
It depends on what you want to do. For the most part, orcs have a couple different ways that you can run them. Like you can run hordes, which is tons and tons of boys. That's always fun, but it's going to result in your game lasting 4 hours because you're moving models all over the place.
One, two, three.
Yeah. You can go crazy vehicle bike heavy, which is always it's the way I like to play because I like throwing a bunch of boys in trucks and throwing a bunch of knobs in battle wagons and bringing all the bikes and buggies I possibly can. And then another way to do it is going heavy armor and artillery. And from what I've seen, that's one of the more competitive ways to do it because that way you're getting the 2-up saves. You have stuff that has AP2. You've got stuff that has strength that can crack armor pretty well. But the problem is that, again, you're still firing with Orc Ballistic Skill, so you're hitting everything on fives.
Yep.
Really just depends on what you want to do. Probably read through your codex, see what kind of interests you, and then go from there. But for the most part, I like Bad Moons, so I like to drive things really fast.
Yeah, that's a good strategy to go with.
Yep.
Next question from Fleshcraft. Quirk, if you and all the other... MWG employees were 40k Inquisitors, what philosophy would you follow?
We would all be radical. Hands down, we would all be radical, and then just different sub-things of radical.
Anyone specifically? For you, at least?
For me? I have no idea. There's like 8 or 9 of them right now, and they're all over the place. I know Steve and Matt would both be... it's gone. It's the one where they basically take everything, they basically look at the past to try and predict the future. That would definitely be Matt and Steve, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Josh would definitely be Horius, or whatever that philosophy is, where it's, yeah. They're basically trying to prevent the chaos, and yeah, that would definitely be Josh. So.
Okay.
Steve's giving me a weird look right now, like, what?
The chaos?
He's like a reverse version of that. Steve's in the room too.
No, I'm not.
What you working on, Steve?
No, I'm not.
Lord Red Panda asks, Quirk, what do you think of the new Orc Flyer coming out?
It looks awesome. I like the idea of having a mech and a flyer.
It's a great model.
Mm-hmm. It's a sweet looking model too.
Hey, Lord Red Panda's got another question. What do you think of the new Wormahordes edition coming out?
Big question.
And Steve just turns and grins at me. I've been avoiding this, actually. I'm excited and scared at the same time, and Steve's just giggling in the corner right now.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to hear your thoughts about this.
Apparently, pre-measuring is going to be a thing now, so it's going to speed up the games. But the problem is that I've now got no use for my superpower.
I mean, you were like, that was the best part for you.
Oh, I know. I loved it. People would be like, how far is that? I think that's like 16 inches. I'm like, that's 13 and a half. Measure it.
Oh. For a player like you.
It's
like
13
that,
and a half. Okay.
That part of the game was just a huge part.
Oh, it was great, but I'm going to lose that now. I like where they're going with it. I think they're fixing a lot of the really broken rules. Like, for example, tough. You can only really make a tough check once unless you have something that prevents you from being knocked down.
Oh, okay. That seems good. That was that one model that beasts all the attacks.
Yeah. I think it went out already, but Josh and I played a game, and he brought Krix, and I threw a Warjack at it, and there was two guys, and I had three focus on it and two attacks. It was my Templar versus a bunch of Bane Thralls. And two Bane Thralls tanked every single one of his attacks. It would be like, it hits, automatically forcing a tough check, he'd pass. Okay.
What's it, 5-6? Tough is?
5-6 is a tough.
Yeah.
And he'd literally be like, okay, tough.
1 in 3 chance, and he did it the whole time?
But I think he lost the first one on the second roll, and then I swung at the other one, hit him, and then he did the other two, or the other three attacks, and I was like, this is annoying. So it's going to make it really good for Menoth players, though, because then they can take, like, or Menoth players and troll players and stuff like that, because they have a lot of stuff that prevents you from being knocked down, and no sleeping on the job, if that's still going to be a rule, is going to come in handy, so that'd be really cool. Things, I can do pros and cons for it. Pros that I really like is that they're fixing all the rules. It looks like it's going to play a lot faster, which will be really nice, and it looks like it's going to be a lot friendlier to new people coming in to the hobby. Or at least into Warm Hordes. The things that kind of bum me out a little bit is that Privateer Press is now releasing everything in colored resin, and that kind of...
Oh, really?
It's a cool idea, but now it looks like nobody's ever going to paint any of their miniatures.
I was going to say, that gives them another reason not to paint
them. I've gone to so many tournaments and seen, like, the top table. Every tournament I've ever seen, the top table is always two unpainted armies. They have the front arcs on their bases painted beautifully, and then it's just a pewter or prime model, and that's what'll go head-to-head. And now that it's going to be okay, now it's Kador is a red resin, Signar is a blue resin, Krix is green, so on and so forth. Now we're just going to see these colored resins on the table, and it's going to be more reason for people not to bother painting stuff. So that kind of bummed me out. But as a mercenary player, like hardcore, they're getting rid of contracts, which is awesome. So now all the mercenaries can work with each other. Score!
Yeah, I know you're really excited about that.
Super excited about that one. I actually have all the like rumors pulled up on my computer right now. So I'm excited for it. Once it actually comes out, Steve, should I talk about that?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Absolutely.
Okay. Like 100% sure?
Nah, never mind.
No, okay, I'll leave it alone. Next question. No, I'm just kidding. So, Privateer Press is releasing 9 new starter boxes. And the way these starter boxes are working is that you get it's basically like the starter and army box they have right now, but it's starting to come up with everything you need. So you're getting all the cards, you're getting all the tokens you're going to need. It comes with a quick start rule book and an actual rule book, and then you get like a ruler and a fold-out 3x3 board to play Rumble.
Do you get templates as well?
No.
Okay.
There might be some in the book that you can cut out, but...
Probably.
Yeah. Rumble's also a new game type they're making. Instead of it being played on a 4x4, it's played on a 3x3 with different, more aggressive rules. So it's supposed to play out a lot faster than regular stuff. But they're coming with 9 new boxes, so they're doing Kador, Signar, Krix, Retribution, Circle, Scorn, Trolls, and now I'm drawing blanks. Menoth, and there's one more. Steve, help me out, there's one more.
Is it a Hordes?
It's probably a Hordes. I said Signar. I know that, this is the one you jumped to right away.
You go Signar, Circle, Trolls.
Okay, Steve's playing Signar, Circle, and Trolls.
Is it Legion?
Legion.
There you go.
Yeah. Josh is going to be covering Retribution. Why am I even, I have it right here.
Hurting your mind.
Josh is going to be covering Retribution, Scorn, and Kador, and then I'm covering Menoth, Krix, and Legion. And the way it's going to work is that we're actually going to be starting these up from the box and building up armies again, which we're really excited for.
Cool.
So it's going to give us a chance to kind of, A, show you guys what you get when you open the box and all this stuff, and we're also going to be playing a lot more games, hopefully, because the rule set is going to be a lot friendlier and also play a lot faster, so we'll be able to get more battle reports out to you guys, and we're also going to have more armies available.
I was going to say, and you guys get to play, it seems like each of you has the armies you already play, as well as some new ones too, mm-hmm. so you get to see some new variants.
Yep, Steve gets to bust out his Signar army.
I sold that.
I know you did. Let's just salt that wound a little bit more. All right, next question.
Eddie Spurrell, I'm sorry.
Spurrell?
Quirk, I've recently purchased both P. Chromac and E. Chromac for Circle or
you can do this one.
Orboros?
Yep, close enough.
Orboros. I'm still learning how to use them effectively, especially with P. Chromac. I find myself wanting to cast all of his spells every turn because they are so good and I'm not saving enough for emergency damage transfer. Have you had much experience against them? Any tips and tricks to provide would be great. Keep up the awesome work, Quirk.
Alright. P. Chromac is actually a little bit of a trickier caster, especially for being a prime caster, because he's got the two forms. He's got his human form and then his beast form. Human form is basically what you want to stay in for a majority of the game, and then human form is what you want to stay in for a majority of the game, and then beast form is what you want to try and pop into if you want to go for an assassination run. But most of the time you're going to stay in human form, you're going to stay a little ways back, and you're going to cast the spells that he has available situationally. I know it seems really cool to be like, oh, let's just cast all these spells and put them out there. Problem is that you're going to get into the exact same scenario you're running into, where you have no fury left over to emergency transfer and you die. P. Chromac is actually I would put him at a higher level skill requirement for Warcaster, just because, like, when you look at Kalissa and Morvana and things like that, they all have their, this is what we do. Like, Kalissa does her yo-yo trick where she throws her beasts out, pops her feet, and brings them all back. And then Morvana does her really, really annoying trick where she just keeps bringing people back. You just never die. They never stay dead. So, whereas P. Chromac has like these two different versions. He's the same way with the one minion caster who has two heads, and you have to pick which head's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're playing him in human form, he's more of a support caster, and you kind of want everything to work the way you like work around it. The thing is that he's not a very good infantry caster, and since it's a very infantry-heavy game right now, it makes it a little lackluster. So, the trick that I usually go with is put all your beasts up front, use your spells to kind of keep everybody going at a healthy pace, and then once you're ready, pop into beast mode in your maintenance phase, charge forward, go for that assassination run, pop your feet, take the 6 or 7 damage, get more fury back on yourself, and just keep going. Because he can put out a lot of hurt in the assassination phase, but that's pretty much what I've seen him built for. As for Epic Chromac, he's just a beat stick. He is the circle version of Butcher for Kador. He's got stupid high armor. He's just got way too much power for himself. And the few times I've played against him, anytime I've been like, oh, I'm just going to throw a jack up against him really quick, the jack's been like, whack. Oh, that didn't work. And then he responds by tearing the jack apart. So he is a, if you ever watch any battle reports with the Butcher of Kador, he's pretty much the circle version of that. So watch some of those, because Butcher's more of a intro caster for Kadorian players, whereas Chromac, especially E. Chromac, is more of a, like, later down the road we're going to get this Warcaster. So if you watch Butcher battle reports or you watch read up on how to play Butcher, you'll figure out how to play Chromac for the most part.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Next question from Zompa. Quirk, War Machine / Horde / Stuff added pre-measuring to the new edition. What do you think about it? Talking as a 40k player, it helped speed up the game immensely, especially with multi-game events.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As for the tournament side of it, right?
Yeah. One of the things that really annoyed me with tournaments was that they made it an official rule that it's implied you can do math. So what that means is that people would be like, okay, well, I'm going to put my caster here and measure my control range. Now, it's implied I can do math, so I'm just going to take this 2-inch reach template, put it against your model, and now I know where your reach is. Well, that's just a whole lot of added steps and a whole lot
when you could just...
Oh, it's a whole lot of finickiness when you can just be like, I'm allowed to pre-measure, let me just see where your reach is. Okay, now I'm going to walk around here. And it's designed to prevent those I gotcha moments, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, I'm going to go for this, and oh, that didn't, or oh, it didn't work, or oh, I didn't realize that was going to happen, or you didn't know that I could do this. Like those gotcha moments in War Machine, it feels almost like a dirty victory where it's like, okay, my opponent didn't know this was gonna didn't know ahead of time that this could happen, and I played on their lack of information.
Yeah, yeah, so. No, I know. As for me being, when I started playing War Machine, it was like, even just from other games, you just pull up the measuring tape and you're like, oh wait, I can't do that.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, now I have to think about it. Now yep. I have to guess and hope.
Well, so. I was reading a lot of things on online where people were talking about how they've play tested with pre-measuring, and everybody who's talked about it, who's like a veteran player, mm-hmm. says they absolutely hate it because it telegraphs what you're doing to your opponent.
Okay.
So, and the thing is, like, in War Machine, especially in tournaments, you're supposed to, when you measure something, your opponent can ask what that distance was, and you're supposed to tell them. So, say you're like, okay, I'm going to check my control to see how far my caster is from that jack. Okay, well, now I know. Well, technically, you're also supposed to tell your opponent, or if your opponent asks, you can't lie about it, because then it's whatever.
Well, yeah.
So, it's designed to have, it, like, the way people were playing it there was to try and get those, okay, well, I'm just going to look at this. I'm going to partly measure something so my opponent can't tell what I'm doing. Now that you can pre-measure, people are going to be like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And it adds to that whole knowledge of the game where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to measure, say, for example, you have a Mage Hunter Assassin. Mm-hmm. If you measure your 14-inch run from where she is, or if you decide to measure her her 10-inch charge with a 4-inch reach, then you can say, well, I'm going to measure my reach because I'm thinking about charging that. But I can see I'm going to be a little bit short. So instead, I'm going to run over here. And it makes it a little bit more friendly, which is something I've noticed in 40K, is that when you're playing 40K, you usually want to tell people your intent. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you get a little bit more of a friendly game. When someone says, oh, I'm gonna move my tanks around here so I can get line of sight, I'm gonna move my Vindicators over here so I can get line of sight on your squad, and then that way I can drop that 10-inch template.
Usually, that verbal element.
Yeah, that verbal element to it, for sure. But when you do something like that, for example, if like Steve and I were doing that, Steve's response would be some sort of a snarky remark, like, you're a jerk. Whereas in War Machine, when you do that, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to move over here. And your opponent's going, why is he doing that? And there's no verbal communication at that point. Your opponent's trying to figure out what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you're trying really hard to be sneaky about it, where it's like, no, this is supposed to be a fun game. People are supposed to have fun. There's banter in these games. Like, that's what makes it more enjoyable. So I think it's definitely going to make it more fun just by adding the pre-measuring.
Yeah, I can totally see where you're coming from. Grimjaw. Quirk, have you ever played Warhammer 40K Apocalypse game before? What army did you use, if you did, or what army would you think you want to use if you have not?
I've played in one Apocalypse game. It was Apocalypticon back in like 2013, 14? It was a while ago. I brought Grey Knights and Blood Angels, and I brought an Emperor Titan. I scratch built myself a 5-foot, 2-inch Emperor Titan, put it on the table. It lasted 3 turns, blew up, and took out 3 tables with it.
Oh my.
Because when it dies, it goes like, it's like super apocalyptic or a lot, super apocalyptic or something like that, where mm-hmm. you basically roll 12 d6, and that's how far out the explosion goes.
So it's essentially like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, and it's the blast is a strength D to everything within the range. So it was gross. I don't know if the video is still on the site, but if you look for it, you'll be able to find that battle, and you'll see my giant. I think I only got it painted black at the time because I ran out of time to actually do the details to it. But I scratch built an Emperor Titan. It was 5 feet tall, and it was gross. when Matt was setting everything up, he was like, "What'd you bring?" I was like, "Grey Knights, Dark Angel, or Grey Knights, Blood Angels, and Emperor Titan." He's like, "You're going. I'm going to put you across the table from Nids." I'm like, "Ooh!" So he put me across the table from somebody who had the Endless Swarm. I'm like, "Ha ha!"
No.
So it was 3 turns of just dropping all these pie plates, wiping out his army, and they all came back. I'm like, "No, stay away from me."
I spent all turn trying to kill those.
So, yeah, I like Apocalypse. I think it's awesome. If I could do it again, I would definitely build another Emperor Titan. The one that I did build went.
You know you're getting yourself into something.
I know I am. I know. The one that I did build stayed at my parents' house for probably 2 years. They ended up taking it. Had the cathedral on top was actually like a. It was removable, so you could take it off, and it was a flat surface. So they took it off and put it like in storage, but they were using the rest of it as like a table beside the couch.
Just down, the legs?
Down, yeah, it was all the legs and the bodies and the shoulder, right? Okay. So it was just a flat surface. They were using it as a coffee table, like right next to a couch. And I was like, that's kind of embarrassing. Like, well, it's sturdy. I was like, well, yeah, it's all plastic tubing and insulation foam.
It's not going anywhere.
But they called me up one day. They're like, we're redoing the basement. We want to know if we can get rid of this. I'm like, it hasn't seen daylight in like 3 years. Yeah, go ahead. And they're like, okay. So apparently they put it out on the curb, and within like 3 hours, some little kid walked up, picked it up, and walked home with it.
Did he know what it was? Probably
I don't know.
Not.
I have no idea if
Probably
he knew
like,
what it was.
Awesome, cool robot, man.
Yeah, it looked like a giant robot, so I was like, ah, whatever. I'm not that upset about it.
Oh, some kid got fun out of it, so. Mm-hmm.
Mason of Skulls. Could you ask Matt how many wounds destroyers have?
I think he's in a game right now. Otherwise, I definitely would.
Dex 86. Group hug! Are we supposed to hug now?
Come here, Steve.
We look at Steve.
Come here, Steve. He's shaking his head no. He's like, no, I want none of this.
No, I'm not.
Come on, Steve.
I know you want to.
Just give Cullen a hug. Just give Cullen a hug. That's all we're asking for.
He's like a pouty toddler.
He's trying to paint stuff right now, so he's just sitting there like... Trying to paint. He's doing a terrible job.
Yep.
What are you painting, Steve? What are you painting?
He's painting nothing. Nothing. That's what he told us.
Is that a Leviathan? Is that a Rhino? Is that a Baneblade?
What's over there?
What could be over there? I think he's crying.
All right, we'll leave him crying for himself. The other question to that is, also, did you answer Matt's survey question, and what were your answers?
I did answer Matt's survey question, because I wanted to, and I wanted to see what the results were, and the only way you could see the results was by answering the question. For the most part, it was everything we cover here, plus Infinity, and also Halo Fleet Battles, because I want some Halo Fleet Battles.
I mean... Got the, I can't see off frame.
You can't see my desk, but I got Halo stuff all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also wearing a... No, I'm not wearing it today. I have a UNSC belt.
Wow.
So.
Crazy 4394. Would you do a Ghazghoul versus Thea Legion with Yarik? Allied with Black Templar
thanks,
plus...
Thanks, Steve.
Helbrecht? Game. Maybe a big one, like 3,000 points?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I can already see my voice dying to that one.
Comes back to the fact that we need the Ghazghoul
model,
right?
It goes back to that we need the Ghazghoul model. I'm pretty sure I would also need... we could probably get away with that. Especially with the Gorka Morka thing going on right now. Yeah, we would definitely have enough miniatures to get away with that.
Oh yeah, sure.
For sure.
Wolfhunter 1503. Quirk, with the number of players coming into Mini Wargaming, I'm sure you spend some time getting to know them. What are some of the most common jobs players do for a living? What are the most rare?
That's an interesting question. No, we don't spend any time with our guests. They come in, they play, and then we promptly escort them out of the building. Steve's nodding over there, like, yes, that's what we know. Don't do that. We pretty much spend anywhere from a day with our guests to almost a week. I think we have a couple guys in right now that are here from Tuesday till Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. So usually what will happen is, it kind of works in a pattern that I've noticed, is that if they're here for a while, guests on the first day will do that whole, like, I'm so excited, and they have, like, the kid in Disneyland moment where they're just like, I've watched your videos and stuff like that. By the second day, they're totally fine. And then by the third day, they're wrestling Steve. So it takes literally no time
it's
for
true.
People. It takes no time for people to feel like happy here. So yeah, we spend a lot of time with our guests. Usually within a day, if someone knows they're only here for a day, they'll kind of go through those three phases within like the course of an hour. So it's like, oh, I can't believe I'm here. We do the tour, and then they're like, okay, cool. Hey, have you seen that new model? And we start talking about it, and then by the end of the hour, they're just like, I don't know why, but I just want to hug Steve. And Steve's laughing because he knows I'm right.
Yup.
You are huggable.
I've seen it happen more than once.
As for the jobs, I think the most common one that we've gotten is like either construction or they're a student.
Military?
I know a lot of
Yeah, we've had a lot of military too. Rare ones that we get are people who are like, oh, I'm a traveling salesman. Like, we had, I think his name was Paul?
Yep, Paul
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, really nice guy.
Hey, Paul,
if you're watching this. But, yeah, we get, like, those odd jobs every now and then. Like, we had somebody who does that. We had another guy who was a writer for a TV series.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
Kicked my butt.
He did. He was a really nice guy. Really funny. Can't remember his name, and he's probably like, that was me! Say my name! Acknowledge me! I'm sorry, bud.
Brogolulio.
You're really good at this.
Broglulu.
If you say it.
Broglulu.
Now say it really fast.
Broglulu. I don't know how to.
Okay.
Words. It's early.
It is. I'm still drinking breakfast.
4:30. They don't need to know that. Quirk.
Mm.
For someone who's pondering getting into War Machine, what is a good way to start an army? What are the basics one would need to know?
Wait until June 1st. That is the best advice I can give you right now, just because everything's going over to Mark III, and the way Privateer Press has been kind of marketing their starter boxes is that it will be everything you need to play the game in a box, whereas right now you get it and you're like, okay, I got my models, but I don't have any tokens, so you have to go and buy the token set. And they're like, okay, well, I don't have a board to play on or any terrain. Well, now these boxes come with a 3x3 board and I think 2 pieces of terrain that you can put on there. So I think it's a wall and, oh no, sorry, it's just a one. It's a fold-up wall, which is actually kind of neat.
Cool.
So I would say wait until that comes out. And then just kind of, actually, right now they have a neat little feature on their website where it's just answer a bunch of questions. And it tells you which army would probably best suit your playstyle.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I got Scorn. I wonder why.
Right? As I see the gigantic box of Scorn sitting over there.
There's one right there. There's a mammoth up there.
Just crying because they're not painted.
I'm sorry. It takes a long time to paint gargantuans.
Oh, yeah. No,
Steve's shaking his head. He's only ever painted a Stormwall.
A lot of blue.
That is a lot of blue. Do it again. I will buy the model if you can paint it in 20 minutes. If you can't, you pay me back for the model and I keep it.
Paint it well.
How much do I get if I do it?
The model. No, I tried. It's only going to be like 36 points. Or 30.
Orpheus, Quirk, what happened to the morning drive?
Steve's giant grin on his face. Nothing really. It's just I've been slacking on that one. What? Steve's just got this giant grin on his face. I'm not gonna lie. I've been slacking on it. I've been more distracted with trying to come up with stuff to do for like the extra videos, like the Wargamer problems and the irritated Wargamer and stuff like that. Like I've been thinking more of that. And then for the morning drive purposes, one of the things that actually kind of stumped that big time was I don't have a computer at my house. And what I would normally do is in the morning I'd print off the comments, or like at night. Right beforehand, I'd print off the comments, and then I would have them for the drive-in. That way I could just kind of glance at them and see what the comment was and then answer it. I just recently got a new computer for my birthday, so I have that now, so I can actually start printing those off again.
Perfect.
So hopefully I'll get started on that again. But the other thing is that I don't have my car right now. I'm driving another vehicle.
That's a thing.
Yep. Went to the car dealer, and he's like, what kind of get you? I was like, Armor 14. He's like, say no more. And now I'm driving a Hummer.
Yep, that's actually what happened. Fluff Matters. Quirk, do you think a set of films or a TV series based on the Horus Heresy would be successful?
Well, Game of Thrones was successful. Yeah, actually, you know what? If I could actually see that being really, really successful just because of all the intricacies and all the side stories and how it all comes together at the end with Ishvan would definitely.
Well, they built some really amazing characters within those stories.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah, like you've
the
got.
Characters already there.
Well, first off, you got all the Primarchs, then you've got all the first captains and all that stuff. You've got all the like individual stories that are happening with everybody all the time, and then all the like everybody's got their own agenda. Mm-hmm. And if it became a TV series, everybody would suddenly be like, oh, I'm team,
that's true.
Robote. I'm team, Pro Turbo. Steve's giggling. I'm team Mortarian. I'm team Horus. Like, it would start that, no questions asked.
You'd really have the, like, I elite, like, you align with one
yep.
Primarch, and then, yeah.
Well, the thing is, Steve, Josh, and I were going through, and we were trying to figure out what actor would play each of the Primarchs.
Interesting.
And we were all over the place with that one. Like, we were trying to figure out who Mortarian would be, and it was like, oh, it would be, the name's gone. The guy who was in, what's the movie with the dude?
Oh,
Force.
There was the thing in the movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one thing happened with the guy. He had the hair.
The Big Lebowski, that's it. The guy who died.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Thank you, yes.
Well, he's way too short of a Mortarian.
But he would do such a good Mortarian.
I guess.
Just stuff like that. And then, like, at one point, we're like, oh, who would The Rock play? Because The Rock would have to be somebody.
Rock Ferris always Manus. Has to be somebody.
Ferris Manus, yep. Who would be Angron?
A younger...
Christopher Lee?
No, what's his name? John Malkovich. A younger John Malkovich.
Lionel Johnson would be played by Thor.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, but this is the conversation that we have.
He has a name.
He has, yeah, his name's Thor.
Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah. So, anyway, guys, that is our, we got time for one more. Let's do one more. I was going to say, that's it, but yeah, I got time for one more.
From Captain Obvious, when you used to annoy / join Owen on his Gaming with the Cooler evenings, did you ever think, in a few years' time, I'll be working here?
Yes, it was all part of a giant plot. I was like, you know what? I like this place. I want to work here. And that's when the cogs
started slow.
Started slowly turning, and everything went into place. And I started doing what I needed to do to get hired here. And you know what? Everything went according to plan.
Everything
went according to plan.
Coming from Alferes over here.
Thanks, bud.
It's all part of the plan.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. So, okay, now we're at the mark. So there you go, guys. That is the 30 minutes free sit and talk. Vault members, go ahead and click the link below to get access to the sit and vault. If you're not already a vault member, go ahead and click that link anyway. And just a quick reminder, guys, next week is going to be Dave. So if you have any questions or comments for Dave, put Dave at the beginning of your comment and then your comment, question, whatever you want to say so that we know it's for him. And if you want to acknowledge or let me know of something that I said here that either you agree with, don't agree with, or just want to tell me something.
Just
want to troll me. Go right ahead. Just put Quirk in the beginning so that we know it's for me, and that way nobody gets confused. So, there you go, guys. Thanks for watching. Till next time, happy wargaming.